This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, we've got Ali Samant. He's the Chief Executive of IDEAS, which is the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, and Yazid Othman, CEO of MTEM. MTEM, of course, stands for the Bumiputra Economic Action Council, and we're both, all three of us, discussing Pakatan's maiden anniversary of their year in government. Now, perhaps we start with you, Ali, and get your views on how the government has really done in terms specifically of addressing government debt and its fiscal issues.
Well, when the government took over, one of the first things we heard from the government was that about this 1 trillion debt figure. And at that time, we actually said that this figure in terms of the accounting may not be the realistic in terms of its assessment, because in our view, the Malaysian economy is strong on fundamentals. And its debt repayment capacity was quite strong. And I think they have moved on from that narrative quickly on. And we understand from the last year budget also that they had to rely on a big injection from Petronas, 30 billion ringgit, to actually compensate for the loss of revenue because of the GST. But I think they have stabilized in terms of their fiscal position. And a lot needs to be watched for the next budget.
Yes, from your perspective as the Bumiputra economic action side of the equation, what is your point of view in terms of how the government has addressed the fiscal issues of the equation?
Our view, I think the government has really tried to explain to the people what exactly they intended to do. There was a fiscal situation that they need to resolve. I would concede similarly with Encik Salman that it's a huge argument whether the figure 1 trillion debt was correct or not. But what's most important is the government is in trying to acknowledge that there's a huge amount of debt incurred due to malpractices and poor negotiation, etc. And I think we need to appreciate that attempt. And I think the government, through what we have seen so far through the negotiation mega project, they have successfully attempted to do so. So I think we should give credit where it's due. And I think the government needs to move on faster and not focus so much on the amount of debt, trying to focus on what happened in the past, but figure out what's the solution for the future.
What's been your point of view, Yazid, in terms of the new cabinet? It's a very multiracial one and had some almost controversial appointments, specifically with finance, even with climate change and communications being, the non-typical Bumiputra profile makeup.
Well, from the community, of course, it's a surprise, because we've always had a certain type of representation in the cabinet, and these positions are usually held so-called to ensure also the interests of the Bumiputra. I think the challenge is for the Ministry of Finance to ensure that they are very sensitive to the needs of the Bumiputra, how allocations are allocated, etc. And I think particularly MOF, because they basically are the gatekeeper for the nation's finances. And the fact of the matter is that the majority of Bumiputra contractors, the majority of Bumiputra businessmen are very much related to JLCs and government, and then basically earns from government procurement. So whatever they do from a procurement policies will affect the Bumiputra community directly. For example, if the amount of Bumiputra, the amount of procurement dedicated for Bumiputra are reduced, it will have a significant impact on the community. If the amounts of projects that actually the way they cut up is too huge or too large, then you will make it less for Bumiputra to actually be able to enter that particular tender, etc., etc. So we try to be positive. I would commend YB Lim for, I think we were the first NGO that he has invited, and we have shared our views, and he has given his commitment to ensure that Bumiputra agenda remains in the Pakatan Harapan government. So we do applaud that commitment. But of course, as things go by, we do have here valid criticism from the community that things are not as it were, and adding to the perception that it should have been a Bumiputra minister instead of a non-Bumiputra minister. The same can't be said about the refs, because the sensitivity is a bit different. So I won't comment yet on whether it's a good or bad idea for other cabinet minister to be non-Bumi, etc. I think it's particularly of interest for MOF.
Yeah, Ali, you must have been viewing the last 1 year with some interest because you are a non-Malaysian and you are, you're very much a free market professional coming to Malaysia and assessing it from almost a third-party neutral perspective. How has the cabinet really performed in your perspective, especially with, as Yazid was saying, from the finance ministry?
Well, we have to take a little bit of historical perspective here. I think if you go back, like previous regime, it was talking about economic reforms. We had moved to GST. The subsidies were being rolled back. And there was at least a symbolism of GLC transformation, although not much happened. So from that baseline, when the new government, the PH government, took over, their commitment to the economic reforms, in our view, has weakened a bit, and the reintroduction of subsidies, their avoidance to talk clearly on GLC reforms, the echo of the third national car. If you see these symbols, and also the CPTPP, so they are clear signal that the government is not going to go ahead on that. It means that from an economic reforms point of view, from a trade integration point of view, the government, the new government has maybe taking a different direction.
Do you get the sense, both of you gentlemen, that the new government has been trying to tread and navigates very sensitively, as you say, to the Bumiputra business class? And with the larger national perspective in terms of economic reform, having to placate both sides of the equation?
Well, my view is that the economic empowerment across the races should be carried out. And the general direction should be towards a merit-based and need-based economic empowerment agenda. And in that sense, the government is committed, and we applaud the manifesto commitments towards the same goal. At the same time, we'd also like to reiterate the importance of an empirical examination of these policies in the past, like not from an ideological lens, but from an empirical lens, that what these policies have delivered for the Bumiputra class itself in terms of education attainment, in terms of the shares in the businesses, and the shares in the corporate structure. I think an empirical discussion is needed rather than an ideological at this point.
Yeah, Yasir, you would have seen the last few months with some interest as well, of course. You have also supported Dato' Sri Azmin Ali's support of the Bumi policies. You'd also seen the discussions of the third national car, and of course the various consequences of not having signed up to the Rome Statute and ICED as well. Do you think these placatory measures were sufficient from your perspective?
I think what we need to understand is I think we are done with a lot of sloganeering. I think there's a lot of sloganeering in the past. There's a lot of this hoo-ha about trying to resolve issues, but then we can see, for example, in the last regime, the GDP was high, but we didn't see any trickle-down effect to the community. Hence, I think to a certain extent, it has affected why there was a change of government. I think there's a reality that we need to check. So I think how we evaluate the economy can no longer be based on the GDP, but through actually the household income. And we talk about household income, then we need to understand who they are, which profile, etc., etc. So I think to back to your question, whether the Bumiputra focus is going to work or not, I think it's a relevant issue. We cannot deny that we are a very multiracial country, whereby there is historical evidence to ensure that that we have been brought up to certain profile. To deny it would be naive, and we must acknowledge it. I think the failure of the last government. Well, I think what we not see the outcome is they did not deliver the result that the Bumiputra intended outcome. But that is not given the excuse for the current government to actually abolish all policies related to it. I think what we need is actually to relook back. Empirically, I agree with Mr. Salman, what exactly went wrong and how to actually fix it. To actually undo the policy just because the implementation was wrong is actually premature. We need to analyse what happened and ensure that there is actual real outcome that benefited the community. So, for example, I could say... We need to see how the procurement policy affected most of the BP Putra. We know for a fact that a lot of them went to Alibaba, and a lot of the supply chain is not being dominated by Putra. So basically, trillions of money have been spent, but the benefactors were not really the boomies at large, but other than the non-boomies as well. So it's trying to ensure that the boomie economic cake gets a certain amount to ensure that there's shared prosperity, because the fact of the matter is almost across all tier, the BP Putra is across, is below. B40 with the lowest, M40 with the lowest, T20 with the lowest. So we need to acknowledge these issues and figure out how to ensure that we can ensure the household income, the disparity between household income between ethnicity improves, because if not, it will have a detrimental effect on the economy and on Malaysia, and which we all don't want. We need to see that objectively.
Yes, and I think you might be right. Empirically speaking, the trickle-down has not affected, but factually speaking, Ali, we've seen in the last few weeks, both Mara Tabung Haji Felder clearly has been very much in the public limelight, where fiscal mismanagement has been a factual occurrence, and it's really been mismanagement which is at issue, not really the policies. From your point of view, is the government doing the right thing, the Pakenan government doing the right thing in terms of trying to restructure these industries?
I think one of the strong points in last 1 year of Pakatan Harapan government is actually a focus on governance, focus on reform of institutions, focus on greater transparency in the procurement, in the budgetary measures, an emphasis on the competitive bidding. Then we just saw a couple of months ago the launch of the National Anti-Corruption Plan, which was quite comprehensive. We have also seen the beginning of prosecution of many of these mega scandals, as you have pointed out. And we hope that with due course and as per the rule of law, the law will take its effect, and we will see the results of this prosecution. Ultimately, what matters is obviously long-term structural reforms, bringing these issues out in the public. And while such investigation may have caused an uncertainty in the business environment, I think it is good for Malaysian future in the long run that people are aware of how the tax payers' money was grossly misused in the past. And people have set up the right expectations that this will no longer happen in the future.
Today is the first anniversary of Pakatan's first year in government. And of course, we have Ali Saman of Ideas. He's the chief executive, as well as Yazid Othman. He's the chief executive of MTAM, the Bumi Putra Economic Action Council. We're going to be coming back in a couple of minutes, gentlemen, and we're going to be talking about the next 4 years. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the grill this morning, we've got Ali Saman, Chief Executive of Ideas, and Yazid Othman, Chief Executive of MTAM, the Bumi Putra Economic Action Council. Yazid, maybe I should start with you as well. I know you've talked about how there's been, I guess, little trickle-down effects from the large GDP numbers we've been enjoying, but have there been any wins, any things to cheer about after the first year in government for Pakatan?
Well, I think what we believed was correct was, I think certainly we believe the government has done a lot trying to solve the cost of living problem. I'm involved in one of the majlis, Kawasan Hidup Negara, actually chaired by Datuk Saifuddin, and I would commend the government of really trying hard to ensure how to actually bring the prices down, especially for the B40. And I think for the first time, I have commented that the abolishment of GST was a positive move at first, because it gave a sense of economic confidence that people were spending. But the problem was the replacement of the SST didn't actually negate some of its benefit. You know, you had to make sure whatever replaced was correct. I would commend the 100 ringgit travel pass for APKL. I think that's a positive move. That would be some of the things that I think PH done right. And I would agree with Mr. Salman, of course, that we should commend the government of trying to really, really fix. They fixed a lot of institutional problems that you've seen, the Felda, Tabung Haji, etc. We've seen their commitment in terms of launching the National Anti-Corruption Plan, which is well accepted and received by all parties. And I think these are the few things that we need to commend the government, of course.
Ali, you're also seeing the data coming from Merdeka Center and Kaji Data as well, suggesting that the younger folk in Malaysia are not so happy with the rate of progress. They've also talked about how inflation is a bigger problem now than it was a year ago. And we have seen Tun Mahathir's popularity nearly halved to 46% of the electorate. Granted, Merdeka Center's research is only about 1,200 people, but it's still, I guess, a marker in the sand, if you like. What were your impressions when you saw that data?
Well, I think the polls are indicative of the changing mood in the public. It is clear that the government and the leadership in general does not enjoy that level of popularity and appeal as it did 1 year ago. And it's a time for introspection for the leadership itself. And so I would not go into the methodology of the data. I would pick up the bigger message, and the message is that public at large are not that satisfied. And I think one reason is, the first 6 to 8 months of the cabinet, as also noted several times by Tun Mahathir himself, were spent on talking about the past. They spent more time in criticizing a current opposition than telling the public what they want to do. So we heard different ministers, education, health, finance ministers, talking about not main priority issues. And that, I think, has led to deterioration of the confidence level in the public as well as with the business community. As we noted also in the MEIR survey of business confidence, which has also slided down. So a moment of introspection indeed.
Well, certainly where certain policy measures were wanting, found wanting by the present government, I think education was one area. Of course, primary industries, palm oil prices are yet another. Yes. And I think with certain statements made overseas with LGBT rights, for example, also found wanting. Yazid, what do you think the government should do in terms of addressing more important, essential policy issues like this?
Oh, I think two keywords I would say the challenges of the government is economic confidence and financial austerity. The fact of the matter is the growth of the economy is not felt by the majority of Malaysians is because the share of national income that is claimed by labour is only around 35%. Most of the developed countries is around 45 and above, which means that whatever good the economy does, the common man on the street will get only 35% of that particular national income GDP. So the economic confidence of Malaysian at the moment is only around 85.6 points, which is lower than a year ago, which was 91.0 points. So I think we need to accept that we need to create confidence in the economy. And whatever the government doing now is not enough. And number two is I think the government needs to stop that whole financial austerity mode. It needs to spend. It needs to make sure that they're spending the right way. This dogma austerity really doesn't really make the balance sheet look good. Trying to justify why they can't do it from that perspective doesn't really add value. The government does have money. They are spending, but they need to spend the right way so more people can benefit. For example, we have already stated a few statements complaining about that there is a problem in terms of the procurement contracts from the government. I think this is echoed by the minister. This is echoed by an MP from PAS and a few other groups. But there has been no reaction whatsoever. There has been no change to the policy. We would have expected a cleaner government, a more efficient government would churn out faster contracts, put smaller contracts and ensure better delivery so people get things done faster and better. Didn't happen.
Some people might suggest, in fact, critics of the NEP might suggest that the reason why more Malaysians don't have the largest share of the wealth is because the NEP has caused some people within the connected few, the super privileged, to enrich themselves. But I want to ask you, Ali, about one of Yazid's statements about how Malaysia has the money and should spend. Well, some people might say the government doesn't have the money. It's got to find ways to get more money. Is it true or is it not true? Does Malaysia have the money or not?
Well, I think the government has actually trying to move towards more balanced budget, and it claims that it has reduced the fiscal deficit as compared with the last year. So I think I would favor a move towards more balanced budget. But I agree with Yazid in terms of where to spend money, right? So we need to actually find out what is where the unlock sources of the new growth lies. And for instance, are we spending the right money to reform our GLCs? Are we making sure that these economic institutions under the government control are not just beneficial in terms of job creation, but also they're helpful in raising more productivity? So these kind of investments are needed. And in that sense, government has not done bad. For instance, government has allocated a reasonable amount of money for SMEs growth in the budget. About 18 billion ringgits were allocated. And a lot of that money will ultimately benefit the B40 segment because, about 70% are micro-scale enterprises. So these measures have been there. So I agree that it's not a question of just not having enough money. It's a question of the allocation.
Okay, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. So let's try and keep up the snap, keep it short and snappy if possible. Yazid, the next 4 years are crucial for the Pakistan government. Some might say that the mistakes should be made in the first year and then to learn from the mistakes and for the next 4 years, try and make it happen for the country. In terms of your where you sit, what are the top three things that the Pakistan government should do for the next 4 years?
I think we need to see a lot of... I think I would say earnestness, seriousness of what policies that they want to that would bring, that you would define Pakatan. People are wondering, where are we going to go? So if, for example, they are going very hard on shared prosperity, what are the policies that would translate to ensure that more people get a fair share of the economy? We want to know how that is done. So it becomes more than just policy on paper, but how is it going to be actionable as well? And I would say we need more transparency. For example, in the past, we know that huge mega projects were actually executed, but the details were not available. Whatever available were just good stuff, news that was actually done by consultants to ensure why the project should go. But we need to engage further. For example, what are actually the breakdowns of the ECRR contract? What are actually the breakdown of HSR contract? Who gets what? Why? Why a certain arrangement are done a certain way? And I think certain, if the government is serious trying to make sure there is more transparency, I think they should bring all these mega projects to the parliament, in fact. So it's clear what actually who benefits in this whole project. So there's no, actually, the issues are not going to be taken for granted. And another issue is, like, I would say we were quite disappointed with the result of agriculture. More needs to be done. We had this UPOV seed bill that's about to launch. There was no engagement with the farmers. We had all this Bernas rice monopoly that needs to be resolved, but we see a lot of lobbying happening to ensure that Bernas still has a lot of say. And a few other things. The rakyat are still kept in the dark on most of the matter. And I think Pakatan has an opportunity to ensure more feedback from the public, to ensure that more stakeholders are consulted and the people will gain at large.
Okay, so clarity on shared prosperity and, of course, more for the primary industries. Ali, what about you? 2 minutes.
So next year it is 2020, and it marked the end of the Vision 2020. And it is the turn of the history that Tun Mahathir is back and at the helm of affairs. This is the time to look ahead, and this is the time for a new growth framework. Where will be the new sources of the growth? And I reckon that it may not be the trade because of the ongoing global developments. And I also reckon that it may not be the infrastructure because already we have seen the slashing down of the spending and NFDI in the infrastructure. I think a lot has to be inward-driven. And I would actually point out again the area of the government link companies, the GLCs. And I believe that there is, there is growth potential there. There is a potential of converting them into through an open, competitive privatization, a new sources for growth for Malaysia.
Gentlemen, thank you ever so much for your candidness, your honesty and your constructive statements for the next 4 years for Pakatan. Thank you so much for your time. I was talking to Ali Saman, Chief Executive of Ideas, and Yazid Othman, Chief Executive of MTEM, on the maiden anniversary of Pakatan's first year in government, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with wider 4G LTE reach. Barulah best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.